Good afternoon, and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful to the presence of you among us today. We are delighted to celebrate the installation of Pastor Anna Carter. When she first arrived, we decided to hold off on this service because everything was shut down for the pandemic, and hoping that it would open up. So here we are today. We'd like to welcome a couple of folks, two groups that were special congregations in Pastor Anna's life. First, her internship congregation from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Durham. Welcome. And second, folks from her home congregation at Augsburg Lutheran Church in Winston-Salem. We're grateful that y'all are with us today. Next, I would like to thank the members of Pastor Anna's call committee that spent many hours working on the call process and helping bring her to us. When I say your name, if you will, stand up and be recognized. Call committee chair was Jane DeBonaventura, David Brown, Kara Feeney, Holly Curry, and Ty Heitman. Thank you all very much. Finally, a couple of details. If anyone needs to go to the restroom, down the hall and to the left, which is where the restrooms are. And just to mention the guidelines here at the church now, if you're fully vaccinated, you do not have to wear a mask. But if you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, you're welcome to. Next, after the service, the fellowship committee here at the church has cupcakes and water down in the fellowship hall. We'll just go down the ramp and to the right. And just to make sure everybody knows, we're sure Pastor Anna's going to want pictures afterwards. So immediately after service, we'll all gather with her and make pictures. And again, thank you for your presence today, and let us now begin our worship service.
Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God. For in the beginning, your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Honor to you for the cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, around us, above us. Our life is born in you. You are the fountain of resurrection. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. Praise to you for the water of baptism and for your word that saves us in this sacrament. Breathe your Spirit into all who are gathered here and into all creation. Illumine our days. Enliven our bones. Dry our tears. Wash away the sin within us and drown the evil around us. Satisfy all our thirst with your living water, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you now, born.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave the holy apostles many gifts and commanded them to feed your flock. Inspire all pastors to proclaim your word diligently and your people to receive it willingly, that finally we may receive the crown of eternal glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before the Lord with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into God's presence with a song. Our Maker, to whom we belong.
We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving.
And the courts with praise.
Give thanks and bless God's holy name.
Good indeed is the Lord.
Whose steadfast love is everlasting.
Whose faithfulness endures from age to age.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of the noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the wrong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And Jesus said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, installation. It's an interesting word. I've installed a lot of pastors like Pastor Cassie. I'm the dean, but in a different conference, and we've had a lot of vacancies. So there's been a number of installations, and it's always different, and it always strikes me a little odd, this word installation. We usually install pastors after they've served for a couple of weeks, sometimes a little longer, and during pandemic, a lot longer. And so it seems a little odd that your pastor's been here for a while. You've gotten to know her and her quirks and things. I mean, I know them pretty well after having served with her for a year as my intern, but we won't go into any of those today, I promise. You can ask me after, though, over water and a cupcake. I've had one pastor who actually started the day the pandemic kind of shut us down, and we waited almost 14 months to install him, and it seemed a little strange. And I know you wanted to wait until everybody could sort of gather together, and I think that's appropriate. I mean, installations are important. We have a member of the bishop's staff here with us, Andrew Klein is with us. Bless me, Father. And at any rate, well, it's a long story. Sandra and I go way back. And but it's important. It's in the Constitution. Your pastor's really not been official here until the installation has taken place. Now she is. But installations always seem a little odd to me. I mean, I think about installing new software, maybe installing a new faucet. I think the last installation I did was a valve in the flush of the toilet, you know? And so I'm thinking, how does that become an installation and this become an installation? It sort of seems odd. Now, it doesn't sound very pastoral after I do all of that conversation, but I guess the point I'm trying to get to is, what am I going to preach about today? Is it about putting her in place, in the right place, in the place that fits what you want your pastor to be? Is it the place of putting her in the right place, in the place where the Holy Spirit is calling her to be? Is it putting Pastor Anna in place, in the right place, in Holly Grove, because she fits? I don't know. I mean, I think it's all those things and then some. I do trust that it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I trust that call is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, installation is what we're doing, and we're officially acknowledging the hard work that you did in calling a pastor, abiding with someone during the time of an interim, which is never easy, is it? Now, sometimes it's easier than others. I saw you had some wonderful interims here. I saw Pastor Constance Garrett was here for a while. What a wonderful pastor, you know. And I know John Mako was a pastor here for a lot of years, and John is still doing marvelous things with the Synod and helping folks. So you have a history of wonderful pastors, and I know there are other names, and I didn't look at all of them, but I happen to see those two. Now, when a pastor comes, has certain skills and abilities. They're called to be pastor after a lot of training. Much like at Pastor Anna's ordination, the church today rejoices in her call, rejoices in the fulfillment of her ordination vows, and she'll say much the same thing today that she said at her ordination. And you will hear again her make pledges to do lots of things. She'll be asked to commit herself to your trust and be responsible to her call. Now, I know that as good Lutherans, you know that her call is to the greater church in the world. It's through you at Holly Grove, but she has a call to be pastor to anyone she meets, to be a pastor to the whole world. And that's always tricky for congregations, at least I found it that way in the calls that I've had, is that people want pastors to be their pastor. And that's true. And I think she will be, clearly. But there's a difference. Being a pastor in the greater church is a call to be more than just a pastor here. It's a mutuality of ministry. You, as the body of Christ, Christ's presence for the world, are called to do more than just take care of yourselves. You're called to reach out to the whole world, to proclaim the truth of Jesus to the whole world. Now, Pastor Anna Carter will be called to preach and to teach in accordance with Scripture. And guess what? Sometimes that's going to make you really happy, joy-filled. And sometimes it might make you a little angry. Because I don't know about you, but when I read the gospel, I find it offensive sometimes. It reminds me of those things that I don't really want to do that I should do. Or maybe it holds up a mirror to me and reminds me of some shortcomings that I have. But that's all part of the gospel. But most of it is reminding you that you're children of God in the water of the font, made whole and new and claimed and named as God's children. It's joyful task of inviting you to God's table, reminding you of the forgiveness poured out in bread and wine, given to lead you and to guide you into this life of responsibility, this life of service that we are called to in the gospel. And there's great hope and love in mutuality of ministry. She's also called to be the pastor that promotes the ELCA. Everybody agree with everything the ELCA does? I've never met a congregation yet that does, but her call says she must support and promote the work of the ELCA. Isn't that right, Dean? Yes, that's right. And so sometimes she's going to hold the party line because that's her call. And I think we forget that sometimes. I mean, I think we all know that life in the congregation is kind of like life in family. How many of you live in family and have never had an argument? Yeah, I let me know how that works if you've never had one. It doesn't work so well in my house. I can't get my brother to get a COVID shot yet, you know. It doesn't matter. I just can't convince him. So we don't ever argue about it. We just don't talk then, you know. I mean, it's just that simple. So, you know, part of being the pastor and feeding sheep is to feed you in water and word, in bread and wine, in hope and in love and in caring, and to challenge you to think together and work together to find ways to trust God in all that you do and trust that the Spirit will challenge you sometimes in ways that you can't foresee yet. Now, the other thing that I like to point out, and I do this because it's sort of part of the call, but not part of the call. There's nothing in her call document, if you read it, that says she'll fix a toilet, change light bulbs, wash the dishes, fix the coffee, order supplies, remove mice from the kitchen. But she'll do all those things because that's what pastors do to make sure that the church is running. But it comes under the other duties as assigned. So I guess it's time I had to talk about the text, hadn't I? The gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And what's Jesus' response? "Tend my sheep." And isn't that the message I've been trying to share? Pastor Anna, do you love Jesus more than these? I know you do. "Yes, Lord," is the answer. And we'll say that often. And you'll say that often in your life together. Tend the sheep. That means preach, teach, comfort, challenge, care. Live among God's faithful people. Administer the sacraments. Forgive them on God's behalf. Tend them. Change the light bulb, wash the dishes, fix the leak. if you can, or know how. Because God first loved us, we are called to love one another. And that's the truth of life together. And as I talked about family, you know that love doesn't mean always everything is going to be perfect. Boy, I wish it was. I wish as a pastor, and I see some pastor friends here, Pastor Jennifer's in the back, she's trying to hide from me, I know. But pastors know that our job is such that we do everything in our power so that everybody was happy all the time. And I've never figured out how to do it. And I don't know another pastor who has either. So I say all this stuff because somebody needs to say those things out loud at least once. So you remember, loving each other doesn't always mean you're going to agree. But it does mean you need to work together to figure it out together, to find ways to manage life, because we've got a task that's so much greater than our own needs. God loved us so much, God sent his son, and then leaves us with a challenge. Go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and bring other people, tell them the story. Now, I don't think Pastor Anna is going to tell you to grab a Bible and go to the street corner of Lexington outside the nearest barbecue restaurant and thump it and say, come on to church. But I think what God does ask us to do is say, my friend, you ought to come see the Jesus I know at the place where I worship. It's a cool place. There are great people. We got a new pastor, and you got to hear what she's got to say on Sunday morning. And that's great, and it'll make a difference in your life, because it's made a difference in your life, this place. I know it has, or you wouldn't be here. Peter is asked twice more if he loved Jesus and is told to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep, feed them with love, the love of God, the hope of Jesus, with the enlivening breath of the Holy Spirit. And Peter feels hurt because Jesus has to ask him three times. Pastor Anna, I hope that you'll be reminded constantly of your call, reminded constantly, more than three times, to feed the sheep, to tend the lambs, to care for the flock in your charge. When nights are long and hospital visits are overwhelming, when you bear the burdens of grief with families in this parish and others, when council meetings go on and on for endless hours and you still don't disagree or agree, then when you faithfully preach the gospel and somebody is still a little bit sure that you're talking politics and not gospel, and when the little child comes up and gives you a hug and says, love you, love you. I hope you love one another. I hope and pray the joy of the Lord fills this place. And remember, people of God, we are Lutherans, the priesthood of all believers. So it's not just the pastor's job. You have a mutuality of ministry to do life together. And I know this will shock you, that, you know, life will sometimes be easy and life will sometimes be hard, but it will be life, and it will be together in this place, worshiping God, loving God, and hopefully loving one another. I pray you will always do that. One of our other texts for today is also one of my favorites, from Micah. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Install in your hearts today, all of you, along with your pastor, the desire to do God's will and work in the world, to live together in love and faith, to live as God would have you, to live justly, live with kindness, and walk humbly with God. Install in your hearts today, along with your pastor, the reminder that we do these things not to earn salvation, not to climb Jacob's ladder to heaven, but in thanksgiving for the great gift that God has already given us. Do these things that your life might be pleasing and thanksgiving to God. The God who loved you so much, he sent his son. And whatever life throws at this congregation, may you always remember that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I pray, God, daily for the joy and the love that I hope grows in this place. I think that the world cares for you and wants you to be the best and the most loving place you can be. May God's peace guide you all. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You are surrounded today by friends and family and fellow members of the body of Christ who have walked with you through your life and ministry. On behalf of all those who have supported you, I invite you to come forward now and be installed here at Holly Grove with your new partners in ministry.
having been authorized by the church to install Reverend Anna Elizabeth Carter, our co-worker in the gospel, as pastor, I now ask for certification of this call.
After prayerful consideration, we, the disciples of Holly Grove Lutheran Church, have called the Reverend Anna Elizabeth Carter as pastor. I present her and this letter certifying the call.
Thank you, Lynn. She's already got it framed. A reading from John. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." A reading from Matthew. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." A reading from 1 Timothy. "Set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Attend to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourselves to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Anna, in the presence of this assembly, will you commit yourself to this new call and trust and responsibility in the confidence that it comes from God through the call of the church?"
"I will, and I ask God to help me."
"Will you preach and teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures and with the confessions of the Lutheran Church? Will you carry out this ministry in harmony with the constitutions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?"
"I will, and I ask God to help me."
"Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and in your use of the means of grace? Will you love, serve, and pray for God's people, nourish them with the word and sacraments, and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living?"
"I will, and I ask God to help me."
"Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do?"
"I will, and I ask God to help me."
"Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them."
Amen.
People of God, will you receive Anna as a messenger of Jesus Christ to serve all people with gospel hope and salvation? Will you regard her as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God?
"We will, and we ask God to help us."
Will you pray for her? Help and honor her work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in peace and unity of Christ?
"We will, and we ask God to help us."
Anna, the office of pastor is now committed to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite clergy and deacons who are here with us, any rostered leaders, to come and surround Anna. And why don't you come in the center here so they can get all over you? And I have a buddy here who's going to hold my book so I can put a hand on you. It feels so strange to be able to touch you. Can you guys let this lovely lady in too? There we go. All right. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I believe some fine folks from your congregation have some things to tell you about and to take you to.
You have been called to be among us to baptize, to teach, forgive sins. Glad to have you here.
You have been called to be among us to proclaim the good news.
You have been called to be among us to preside at the Lord's Supper.
People of God, I present to you the Reverend Anna Elizabeth Carter, your pastor. Let us welcome her in the name of
us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. For the Holy Catholic Church, that filled with your love, it may hunger for truth and thirst after righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all members of the church, that they may serve you in true and godly lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For Anna, called to be pastor in your church, that sustained by your Holy Spirit, she may carry out this ministry with joy and a spirit of bold trust, serve your people, build up your church, and glorify your name. Lord, in your mercy. For all pastors and deacons, for bishops Elizabeth and Tim, that together with all those responsible for the care and nurture of your people, they may support one another in serving Christ. Lord, in your mercy. For the peace of the church, that our divisions may be overcome, so that united in Christ, we may serve the Lord and bear witness to the good news. Lord, in your mercy. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may proclaim the gospel and in humble love serve all in need. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations of the world and their leaders, that they may work for justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person. Lord, in your mercy. For the whole creation, that everything you have made fulfill your purpose, and that we may exercise care for your diverse gifts. Lord, in your mercy. For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, the lonely, the forgotten, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. Lord, in your mercy. For the glorious company of all the saints, those who have died in faith, and those who live in certain hope, we praise you, that their witness may give us courage until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the sign of God's peace with those around you.
Blessed are they, the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they, full of sorrow, they shall be consoled. Blessed are they, the lowly ones, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst, they shall have their fill. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you, holy are you, rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. Blessed are they, the pure of heart, they shall see God. Blessed are they who seek peace, they are the children of God. Blessed are they who suffer in faith, the glory of God is theirs. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you, holy are you. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who suffer hate, all because of me.
us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us that we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection sent forth the apostles to preach the gospel and teach all nations, and promised to be with them even to the end of the age. And so with the glorious company of the apostles, with the choirs of angels and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Oh,
stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.